You're listening to Michigan Politics, part of the We Love Where You Live podcast series brought to you by the Michigan Municipal League. Here's your host, Matt Bach.
Welcome to another edition of our podcast, Michigan Politics, huh? That's the name of it. We got a question mark at the end of that. So I am Matt Bach, Director of Communications for the Michigan Municipal League, and you've stumbled upon another edition of our podcast where we kind of take a lighter look at Michigan politics and just trying to talk to the people out there, you know, doing their best to make a difference for our state and our community. So I'm very honored today to be joined by Andrew Brisbow. And I had your name here on the sheet with your title that I'm now stumbling for. I found it. You're director of the Bureau of Marijuana Regulation. Easy for me to say, marijuana regulation. And also, I kind of got a co-podcaster with me, Jennifer Rigterink, who is the Michigan Municipal League's legislative associate. And she's also kind of an expert in this whole field of recreational medical marijuana. So welcome to the show, both of you. Thank you for joining us today.
Pleasure to be here.
Thanks, Matt.
So Jen's going to kind of help me with some of maybe the more of the technical questions, but I don't want to get too far into the weeds. And there can be lots of puns in this show. I'm just going to, one after another, here we go. Andrew's already like, why did I agree to do this podcast?
You can't avoid the puns.
So tell us a little bit about what you do and what the Bureau of Marijuana Regulation is.
So this is an agency that was formed in March 2017, and we are sort of the central hub for all marijuana regulation in the state.
Okay.
So we administer not only the Medical Marijuana Facilities Licensing Act, but we go back and we do the registry card program from the voter initiative from 2008. So we issue the registry cards for the patients.
That was for the medical part.
Correct.
Right. Yeah.
The patient caregiver registry program. We also have then the licensure program for medical facilities, and now we're implementing the adult use ballot initiative as well.
Okay, and adult use, that's what the people would probably know as recreational. Is that how that is?
Correct.
Okay. And tell us a little bit about that law. It went to the voters in November. It was a pretty big margin. They approved it. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean for us, and what does that mean for you guys, too?
Well, so it provides, what's effective now is the provisions that protect adults over 21 from arrest or prosecution for possessing and using marijuana for personal use.
Okay.
It also lays out the framework for us to regulate commercial facilities,
yeah.
But we have until December to start taking licenses for those facilities. So
okay.
Sort of half of it's in play now, and the other half we're working on and will come to fruition soon.
So you're kind of working on the rules that people are going to have to follow, and you have until, I think the ballot language was, you have till the end of the year. Which mm-hmm. is the date you referenced.
Yep.
So how's that going?
Well, we're starting to put pen to paper now. There's a lot of stakeholders' input to be considered. So we're going to have some work group meetings coming up in March, and then we're going to do it again in April in order to collect feedback on some of the provisions of the act where there's some leeway and where it's important for us to consider how it's going to impact operators in the industry, the public, municipalities. We need to get a lot of input from a lot of different sources to try and do it the right way.
Okay. And Jay, go ahead and ask him what some of the things you're hearing from our members that you've been, I know you could kind of been working hand in hand with them. You guys are both speaking later today. We are at our 2019 Capitol Conference here in Lansing. You're doing a session later today on this issue. So what are some of the stuff you're working for on behalf of our members with them?
I think we're just still hearing from our members, just lots of questions and uncertainty until those rules and regulations come out. We with the announcement of the work groups, we got some feedback from folks who can't be here in Lansing, and so letting them know that this is just the first step in the process.
Yeah. So what's the work groups? What's that you guys are talking about?
So we did this when we instituted the Medical Marijuana Facilities Licensing Act as well. So it's an opportunity for us to get direct feedback from interested stakeholders. The way we set it up, the first round of work groups will be in Lansing, and we have a group specifically for municipal representatives to hear their input and feedback on some of the provisions that aren't present in the medical side, and also to hear about what we've done on the medical side that we should carry forward or potentially do different in the adult use market.
Okay.
But we're also intending to go up and do that in Marquette and in Detroit as well, so that we're available in all areas of the state. And we do things like this. We come to the Municipal League's conference. We do the same thing for the Township Association, so that we can get the input from local representatives on how this is impacting them and what they need from us in terms of communication, timing, what concerns they're dealing with, so we can help be a good partner in implementing this new industry in Michigan.
Okay.
And then there's normally, once you've drafted those rules, there's a comment period. Mm-hmm. So folks will have the opportunity once you have draft regulations to provide comment?
That's true in the full APA process. With the short time frame to implement this, we'll likely have to go the emergency rules route. So I think the work groups are sort of intended to give an opportunity for us to collect that more prospectively versus after we have a fully published draft.
What's the APA process?
So the Administrative Procedures Act requires anytime you're promulgating rules that there are drafts, there's public notification, you have public hearings. So in the emergency rules process, you get to skip some of those steps, and that's necessary if there's an issue with public health, safety, and welfare with implementing this program because of the short time frame and the fact that we have to have rules in order to implement the program, that we'll likely have to go that route.
So one of the issues that the law allowed was communities had to, they kind of were automatically in the program unless they wanted to opt out, and correct me if I'm wrong in explaining that. So, and you guys have been tracking that, which communities have been opting in and opting out. What are we up to? What are you seeing as far as what our cities are doing?
Sure. The main difference in the language in the ballot initiative was that the state has to issue a license unless notified by the municipality that the operation of that facility would violate an ordinance. That's kind of how we arrive at this opt-out perspective versus the Medical Facilities Licensing Act, which is very clear that we can't issue a license unless it's authorized by the municipality.
So it's completely reversed.
It is. We sort of opt in on the medical side, but opt out on the adult use side.
That's not confusing.
Yeah. Some of the nuance of implementing regulatory programs, and that's why we've really been trying to focus on communication and education and outreach. But we have about 320 municipalities that have opted out at this point out of the 1,773 in the state.
Wow.
So in essence, I think a lot of municipalities are just recognizing that opt out is what's necessary for them in order to see how the state program rolls out and to buy time so they can determine their best approach.
Okay.
So an ordinance that opts them out isn't a permanent action.
Yeah.
They can always go back and look at that again later on.
Yeah. Has this been kind of a tough call for a lot of communities, or what are you hearing? Is it a difficult decision in trying to figure all this out? Kind of a short timeline?
Yeah. Well, yes. Anytime you're faced with a short timeline, that adds to the pressure. But, you know, we're talking about a somewhat politically divisive issue still.
Yeah.
The voters approved by a pretty significant margin the ballot proposal. But the ballot proposal deals with a couple of different things. It deals with personal possession and use, and then it deals with commercial facilities.
Right.
And I think a lot of communities are looking at that two different ways.
Yeah.
They don't really have a concern with their citizens having access and possessing marijuana, but it's a completely different ballgame when you're talking about a commercial facility to grow or process or sell marijuana at retail.
Because then you're talking regulation, enforcement, and how are they going to, you know, are they going to have a lot of money on hand? I mean, there's a lot of these questions. It's like, is there a public safety concern?
And I've been a regulator for a number of years and regulated, you know, 50 different industries in the state, and none so much where there is this constant rumor mill and constant misinformation that's spread around and taken at face value.
Yeah.
So that's why we're trying to take a leading role in getting the right information out there. And when you're doing something like this that's brand new, where you have an industry that to some degree existed in the state that we're now trying to wrap our loving regulatory arms around, it's very easy for things to get away from you and for a lot of concerns and issues to be raised that aren't necessarily based in fact. But we also don't want to put out misinformation. So we're trying to take a slow approach, a measured approach to ensure that what we're saying is something that can be relied upon moving forward.
Right.
And sometimes when decisions haven't been made yet, in the absence of that information, nature abhors a vacuum.
Yeah.
So someone's going to fill it with information, even if it's not good information.
Is there a lot of misinformation out there about it?
Absolutely. One of our main struggles has been that a lot of folks who operate within the industry seem more likely to listen to each other than to listen to us when it comes to how the regulatory program is unfolding.
Yeah.
So we've tried to be very proactive in getting written communication out, sending email blasts through our listserv, but also getting out there in person and making presentations to community organizations and statewide organizations of all types so that we can explain to people how we're approaching this.
And what is the best way people to get solid information? Do you have a website or something or a resource that they can go to?
Yeah, michigan.gov/BMR is your one-stop source for all the information from the regulatory side of things. And there's a place there where you can sign up for our listserv. So you'll be tied for first with everyone else on the listserv to get the new, fresh information from our agency.
That's great. And now you said that it's a Bureau of Marijuana Regulation. I know when Governor Granholm started just recently, she's kind of changing things up.
You just called her Governor Granholm.
I said Granholm, didn't I? Scratch that. Edit that. No. Governor Whitmer, I should say. Thank you very much. Is she kind of restructuring things a little bit? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so the governor issued an executive order that is still subject to legislative review that would create the Marijuana Regulatory Agency in place of the Bureau of Marijuana Regulation.
Okay.
Would also eliminate the board and the advisory panel. I think it's intended to allow for a more streamlined, efficient approach to the implementation of all of these acts in a consistent way. There's no board that's provided for under the Adult Use Act. And ultimately, when we look at application review and processing, we in LARA, which that's the agency where the department we're a part of now, licensing and regulatory affairs. We're good at licensing and regulation.
Yes.
That's what we've all cut our teeth doing, and we're very adept at that. So I think leaving it in the hands of a regulatory agency, my analysts, when they're looking at these application packages for licensure, sometimes you're talking tens of thousands of pages of information to review. To expect a voluntary board to take that, and in a 2-week period of time, the agenda, we have a board meeting coming up tomorrow. There are 144 agenda items. If each of those applications is 5,000 pages, that's an unreasonable amount of information for 5 volunteers to be able to synthesize in that period of time. So I think it'll allow us to move things forward in a more efficient manner should it be adopted.
Yeah. This might be out of your comfort zone. You can decline to answer it, but some people think this is going to be a big economic boom for Michigan. I mean, do you see it that way, or do you think it's not going to be what people are hoping or think it might be?
I think gauging by the interest in getting involved in the industry, there's certainly a lot of folks that would agree with that perspective. The industry existed to some degree in the state. It's not going anywhere. So to have the ability to have it regulated so we can ensure safe patient access and provide economic opportunity through a licensure program that gives licenses to people who are willing to do things the right way, I think is beneficial for, the overall public good as it relates to the industry. Michigan has the second largest patient population in the country behind only California. We have almost 300,000 registered patients in the state now. And being that Michigan is now the first state with an adult use law on the books in the Midwest, it's certainly going to add to, making Michigan a tourist destination and potentially having dollars come to Michigan. What we've seen already with the passage of a bill in lame duck that allowed us to reduce the number of people who had to be vetted in order to achieve licensure before we were vetting everyone that had any ownership interest in the facility.
Yeah.
Now if it's less than 10%, they have to be disclosed but not fully vetted. We've already seen companies that are looking to invest dollars in Michigan, publicly traded companies on the Canadian Stock Exchange coming to the state.
Oh, wow.
So, there's definitely a great deal of focus and interest. I would like to think that all of those individuals wouldn't be trying to come to the state if they didn't think the market would be successful here.
Yeah, interesting. Jen, any other things from you're hearing from members that you want to ask him about?
No, I think, once with the regulation, I would just like to say it has been very your approach, the department's approach in access to information and answering our questions.
The fact that he's here for our conference.
Yes, this is, number one, you've been very accessible, but being able to help with some of the misinformation that's out there has been very helpful in letting our members know what's going on and coming right from the source.
Yeah.
So that's been much appreciated.
Well,
thank you.
We appreciate it. So I did find out, doing a little research on you, that you and I are both CMU grads, both the
Fire Up Chips.
That's cool. CMU was kind of known as a party school. I think probably when we went there, it might not be now. I don't know. But so do you ever see yourself being kind of head of the pot industry in Michigan?
No, that I
you're very clean cut looking, man. You wear a suit and tie, got very short hair, so you don't look like the pot king.
No, I'm a regulator. I'm not involved in the industry directly, but honestly, you'd be surprised meeting with individuals who are engaging in the industry that you're talking about legitimate business people. It's not quite what you would expect when you hear marijuana. And I think some of that dynamic is starting to change and some of the perspective is starting to change as well. This is definitely not what I thought I'd be doing when I was a kid.
Sure.
I was speaking to the state bar's criminal law section, and I said, if my mom knew someday I'd be standing in front of a room full of judges and lawyers talking about marijuana, she would have thought my life didn't quite work out like she wanted it
right.
to. But,
exactly.
I think we're taking steps to try and normalize this industry in Michigan and provide that economic opportunity to the businesses and allow for patients and adults to have access to the products that they want.
Yeah. And you feel fairly confident that you will have the laws and regulations done up by the end of the year deadline?
Absolutely. the lift to implement the adult use program is pales in comparison to what we had to do on the medical side with the same time frame where we were starting from scratch, and we did that in time. Not to say we haven't had some bumps along the way, but you know, we were prepared for this eventuality with the legalization on the adult use side, and you know, had our minds wrapped around how we would make that transition. And so now we're just implementing that plan.
Great. Oh, good.
Any possibility that you will be ahead of schedule and accepting applications before that December 6th deadline?
I think it's likely that we'll be prepared to do it ahead of time. The question will be, is there an interest in doing anything earlier?
You know, we want to make no. She said silently.
I mean, we're not operating in a vacuum here. So even if we're ready to take applications, there are considerations for, you know, law enforcement's needs, as well as, you know, the Department of Treasury ready to collect the tax, and whether municipalities have had the time that they thought they would to make decisions about what's best in their community. So we want to be cognizant and, you know, make sure that everyone's ready for this to move forward, not just make a decision on our part so that we look good in implementing it earlier.
Great. Well, thank you again, Andrew Brisbow, Director of the Bureau of Marijuana Regulation, and Jennifer Rigtrink from the Michigan Municipal League for joining us here on the Michigan Politics Hoff podcast. Thank you again for your time. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thanks, Matt.
This has been a production of the Michigan Municipal League. For more information on our programs and services, please visit www.mml.org and join us for the next episode of We Love Where You Live.